And now, the internationally recognized, critically acclaimed, world famous Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hey, come on down. Whether you're having yourself a party, a birthday party, an anniversary, someone has just died, a funeral, come down and have some fun at Ted's of Beverly Hills. No party is too big or too old.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your...
Ted Bell joins us, and this is the Phil Hendry Show from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and I want to say that we are broadcasting right now live from Salt Lake City, Utah, and we are here at the invitation of the Boys and Girls Club of the South Valley in the Salt Lake City area. We also have Ted Bell on the line with us from Beverly Hills, California. And Ted, welcome to the program. We're kind of here and you're kind of there, although I know you were in Miami, weren't you?
I was in Miami, Phil. I flew back earlier this morning. Obviously I was back there for the debate, and it was.
How did you like the debate?
I got to tell you something, Phil. I don't know if you want to get into this right now. I felt that President Bush was not on the top of his game. I felt that, but this, you know, this goes to Homeland Security. Bill Richmond, who owns Rodeo Sushi and a couple of other places, had gone to the debate with me. And he was going to fly back with me, of course, but he decided to stay on in Miami for business. And of course, seeing how the presidential debate went on Homeland Security, I guess I was sort of in a thoughtful mood. So I got into my seat on the plane this morning, and I had a first-class ticket.
Okay.
And, of course, Bill's seat was open because he didn't come with me, so I thought I could get some work done. I got out some paperwork. I got out my computer. Now the flight attendant brought somebody up from coach to sit in the vacant seat. Now, this is called an upgrade.
A lot of people do that. You know, they use their points.
Exactly. I wanted to talk, I looked at the flight attendant, and I said to her, and I asked her what was going on, because the first thing you go to is anything that's unusual that may be perceived as a risk, and she says to me that she's been upgraded from coach. Now, I paid for a first-class seat. Bill paid for his first-class seat, but what's sitting in his seat is not Bill. Obviously, it's this, person from coach.
Are you concerned about the whole idea of upgrades?
I really am. I really am. Yeah, I really do feel that with the terror threat, with President Bush doing as poorly as he did last night in Homeland Security, you know, I'm a big supporter. As I know you are, Phil.
Well, I don't think he did poorly. I think he could have been a little bit more on his game, but I think that, by and large, the perception thing, you know, as they say, style over substance.
Well, that's the whole thing, and I think he didn't look... So I'm worried about this, and I think that as you fly home from Miami, just having seen your president basically get, in my opinion, I thought he was taken apart at the seams by Kerry, and then I'm sitting in first class with a full fare ticket, and they sit this down next to me. What I'm trying to do is say to the airlines, we've got a security problem. That is really what we do. And
when they upgrade people from coach...
Look, if I could interrupt, Phil.
Go ahead.
First of all, they say to you when you sit down at an airline, you have to use the coach latrine. Everybody in first class gets to use their facility. But if you're in coach, you have to go back and use your one that's in the back. And the reason for this is the terror threat is perceived primarily to come from the coach seats. And when you upgrade somebody for the coach seats, you got a problem. You may be asking for a problem. And so I have to tell you, it was a concern of mine, and one that I do want to address, as I did with the flight attendant, and I also spoke very directly to the man.
All right, well, you told me before we went up, by the way, Ted Bell is with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. You were at the debate last night. You flew in from Miami this morning. You were sitting first class, and they upgraded a guy.
Yeah, this upgrade thing is...
Well, people do it with points.
See, that's what I want to get. What do you mean points? What does that mean, points? In other words...
Well, what they do is they fly a certain number of miles, they get points, and then they can upgrade a seat.
Yeah, that is a breach of Homeland Security and FAA regulation. And why the flight attendants don't say something... first of all, there are people in first class that could be upgraded. And
well, how do you get upgraded in first class?
You can move ahead a few rows. You're certainly going to get a little bit of a better view if you're, you know, in the, one of the first two rows. You can see what's ahead of the plane as opposed to, you can see what's coming up. And why are they not doing that? What they're doing is they're putting fear into the people that sit in first class, flyers. And I think it's something that needs to be looked at. And I spoke very directly to this man.
All right, I'm going
to
give our phone number out right now. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell has joined us. Homeland Security being on your mind after having seen the debate, you were concerned about this man getting upgraded to first class where you were sitting. You feel it's time for the airlines to shut that program down?
I pay for a full fare ticket. And when this man got up to use the first class latrine or you know, the men's room, I said to him, you know, I asked him where he was going. He said he was going to use the bathroom. I said, well, you're actually from coach. So while you're sitting here, you need to use the coach latrine. And he looked at me as if, you know, as if I was crazy. You see? So this is...
Well, why wouldn't he want to use the first class? You know, you see what I'm saying?
He didn't pay a full fare price. I pay the full fare price. The other problem that you have is when these people move up from coach, people who sit in first class have a tendency to, I want to say their hygiene's a little better. This gentleman was a little bit, if I could, you know, as the kids say, B.O., yeah? You know, the kids will say, hey, this guy's got B.O. My son's always coming home and saying, oh, the kid, he's got B.O. This guy had B.O., and I'm saying that there is a way to do it.
All right, let me just, if I could interrupt here, Ted.
Go ahead, Bill.
I believe that there is a risk of sounding a bit snobbish.
You immediately go there, don't you?
There's a risk of sounding snobbish as if I belong in first class.
No, again, let's remember what we're talking. The flight attendant says clearly at the beginning of every flight, those of you in coach, stay there. Those of you in first class, can we get you a drink? That is the essential difference. And what I'm trying to say is primarily this. If they're telling people in coach to stay there because the terror threat is perceived as coming from coach, because they can rush the door. Now, you put one of those people in first class, he can rush the door. The other thing that I think needs to be said is there is a certain anxiety level that rises in first class when you bring one of these people up from coach, because now people in first class are thinking, is there a security breach going on here? Is there a risk? My anxiety level, everyone's reaches. And I was talking to Bill Richard about this, and Bill said, it's possible that someone in first class who doesn't mean any harm at all, out of fear, will pick up one of the plastic knives they give you, hold it to the throat of a flight attendant, and he didn't want to do anything bad when he first got on the plane, but suddenly he's holding a flight attendant with a plastic knife to her throat, and when, of course, when he gets off the plane, he goes, I don't know, why did I do that?
Well, you're talking about, like, mass hysteria.
I'm talking about a full-fledged mass panic. And
are you telling me you would feel like getting up and slitting someone's throat because a terrorist is next to you?
I'm saying that your thinking isn't clear. I may want to rush the cockpit. He may want to rush the cockpit. What you're doing is you are suddenly becoming infected. It's called the Stockholm Syndrome, Bill. I don't know if you've read up on it. Where basically, people become terrorists because there's a bad example set there after they've been kidnapped. And they said, well, I'd like to do that too. And these are the things that I think you want to talk about.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go to a phone call here, Ted, because we do have people holding on the line. I've got Laura. Laura's in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Laura?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. I do not agree with the person who is speaking right now. I do not feel it's a breach in Homeland Security at all to have someone bumped up to first class.
Well, but why do they keep people back in the coach section? You got to ask yourself that question. But I think when you do, you put these things together.
They keep people back in the coach section because they obviously can't afford to be paying up in first class. I would love to fly up in first class. I can't afford it.
The only way I can use the bathroom in first class is
to use my airline miles and have them move me forward. I think that would be fantastic. I feel it's very pretentious and pompous. I think it's a social standard that you're looking at. that you don't want people who can't afford it to be sitting in first class.
Ted, you wanted to make a comment?
I just want to say to Laura, first of all, Laura, why do they tell you you can only use the bathroom in coach? You know, you've heard the flight attendant say that. Please stay back there, and if you need to go, you know, number two or whatever you need to do, go back and do it back there. Why? Because
that's what you paid for.
Well, no, I mean, the bathrooms are the same. Believe me, I've been to the coach latrine, to the first class latrine. Other than the fact they do have different soaps in the first class men's bathroom, and there's some towels that they have. But why? The reason is because the terror threat is perceived as coming from coach. I don't know. You're a nice lady. I'm talking to you now. You come up into first class. I've never met you before. You've got a lot of people nervous. Why are you there? Why? Why? This is what is un- I'm sorry?
If you have not been bumped up to first class, then you shouldn't use the first class bathroom. If you've been bumped up to first class, then why not?
Why are you using the first class bathroom if you're in coach?
Well,
I'll tell you why.
You shouldn't be.
Maybe it's probably because you want to, but the other thing is, maybe you want to get up there to get into position to rush the cockpit. And these things...
Absolutely. I just think it's an absolutely ridiculous
absolutely absurd
notion.
If that's so ridiculous, I invite you to travel to New York City and go downtown. There's a large hole in the ground there.
Yes,
all right, Ted, we know about...
Okay, then, you know, it would be ridiculous. Those guys rush the cockpit for the coach, okay? And
were those guys in coach?
Who?
The guys that did the 9/11 job?
My understanding is they had a standard coach ticket, yeah. And they were back, way back. They were like in row 26, sweating... assembling weapons back there. No one saw anything. And the next thing you know, they're running up, and as they were running forward, guess what they told the flight attendant?
What?
They said, I got to go. I got to use the bathroom. They're running up there, and the next thing you know, you've got dead people. So, Laura, it's something to think about when you're traveling with your children.
How do you know that? They actually told the flight attendant they have to go up and use the bathroom. That's noted in the flight data.
It was one of the last. It was one of the last things the flight attendant said when she was on the cell phone. She said the guy needs to use the can. I gotta go.
And that's what they.
No, I don't know. I didn't hear that.
Well, I'm sorry. It's in the intelligence. It was in the chatter that I heard about.
The chatter, huh? So in other words, when these cats were talking back and forth.
I didn't read about that in the 9/11
there was chatter,
Commission report.
Did you read the 9/11 Commission report?
Yes, I did.
All of it. Because there was chatter.
I'm three quarters of the way through.
Okay. What do you mean chatter?
The chatter that the CIA picked up subsequent and prior had something to do with, you know, let's go use the can. Let's pretend like we got to squeeze one off of it or something like that, and we'll go up and use it.
All right. Look, at Laura, thank you for your call. It's a concern.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much, ma'am. 1-800-449-8686. We're going to be right back. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Is it time that we stop upgrading people from coach to first class? Is it time that we begin to... be a little bit more secure? When you put people in coach up to first class, is it making people in first class nervous? Is it the possibility these people are terrorists? Ted believes that flying back from Miami after hearing President Bush, in his words, not perform all that well in the debate, we may have a problem. 1-800-449-8686. We're broadcasting live from Salt Lake City. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back with Ted Bell.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I can't think straight.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
You're on right now.
Come on down.
Yeah, Ted's of Beverly Hills. We got a great barbecue coming up this weekend. Football's on in the lounge. Come on down. Bring the family. Oh.
Okay, you still got...
Okay. Come on down and bring the family.
Are you...
We want to put our meat in your...
You are concerned, aren't you?
I'm very concerned. Two things concern me. President Bush's performance last night means that I don't think he's got the greatest grasp of the national security issue, the homeland security issue. Secondly, and more importantly, it's funny what our leaders don't think of. I'm there in first class. And you know, I'm Ted Bell, Phil. I own one of the biggest restaurants in America, and I suppose it's natural for me to think outside of the box. But suddenly, here comes this you know, guy from coach sitting next to me. I'm Ted Bell. And so I said to the flight attendant, this is exactly what the president was trying to say. This guy comes up from coach, and the next thing you know, he's holding a razor blade to your throat. And that is...
Boy, that's a hell of a thing to talk about on a plane.
Well, you said some flight attendant was talking about...
Well, I was flying... Yeah, I was flying back at...
What was she saying?
Well, I was flying back from... Marie and I were flying back from Aspen, and I... Or no, Mexico, and the flight attendant was talking about somebody trying to bust into the cockpit.
You see what I'm saying? These... Look, you've got to talk. You've got to air it out.
And, well, I told her. I said, I don't think it's appropriate to talk that way. Let me go to some phone calls here, Ted.
I do want to talk with people out there... Because I want to warn them. I don't know what you had in mind.
I think there's a lot of people who disagree with you.
Well, okay, they disagree with me. Look, I've been flying first class for... I don't know what you're talking... I've been flying first class for...
There's a lot of people who do use their upgrades. Let me go over here to line one. Where are we going? To line one. Dorothy. Hello, Dorothy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Yes.
Go ahead, Dorothy.
This gentleman...
Hello, Dorothy. This is Ted Bell.
Yes, well, Mr. Bell, you're very impressed with yourself. I can see that, and you really have a class problem.
No,
I worked the airline. I worked for the airlines for a good many years, and it's common to upgrade. And it doesn't mean that everybody sits.
That was before 9/11. I want to make this very. Before 9/11, we could upgrade. After 9/11, you're upgrading some guy who's got, a plastic explosive in his underwear.
You have no.
I want to say
proof
thank you
of
for
something
that.
Like that. You have no.
I don't
proof
have
of
proof.
Something like that.
Why do they keep people back in coach now? Because they.
Well, you mean
Well, why do they do it? Because
well, probably
they
because they want to have their attendants fully aware of anything that may look a bit amiss, whether it's in first class or coach. I don't think there's any way for you. Well, I don't
class.
Think there's
I
any way.
I've dated a lot of steward. I've dated a lot of flight attendants from first class. If they're so nervous, why are they going out with me? Okay, you don't see that happen in coach. Number two. And more important.
What are you talking about, man? If they're so nervous, they wouldn't go out with you.
if they're
maybe they didn't choose to go out with you, but that doesn't sound like that would occur to you.
You know, we just saw our president get, and pardon me for saying this, Dorothy, get figuratively raped by John Kerry on national security, and you're laughing about it?
No, I'm...
they're upgrading people from coach.
You have a problem with switching from one thing to something entirely
different.
I wasn't laughing at all.
You were laughing at the idea that people are getting razor-bladed up and down and slipped.
No, I wasn't. You jumped,
no, she was
you
not.
Jumped to an awful lot of conclusions, sir.
Well, look, if you worked at... See, you were a flight attendant back when you were... You know, you could go up to the cockpit for 20 minutes or whatever you did.
Oh,
they
we
don't
didn't do
that.
Things like that. We didn't
well,
do things like that.
In the
How
film,
old
in the,
are you?
Ma'am, in the film Airport, Dean Martin knocked up Jacqueline Bisset. And,
oh, come on. It's a movie, dude.
You know
well, but the
you're,
point that
you're
I'm trying
to... You're a tacky man. You may ride first class, but you have a tacky kind of language.
Dorothy, I'm Ted Bell. I built one
I
of the largest
well,
restaurants.
Should I write that down and do it in golden...
I think that what I'm trying to say to you, Dorothy, is I've been a successful businessman for over 20 years. And I think I know a little bit about what makes this country work and work well.
Well, I'll tell you
one
what, you were still in the cradle when I was working.
Well, when you were working, they were, what, propeller-driven? And you
yeah,
know what,
yeah.
Did you work
right,
when there were
right.
jets? Did you actually
yeah.
be on a, were you on a jet?
Oh,
well, Dorothy,
really?
Dorothy.
Yeah, I was, and it was so exciting.
You know, you're being sarcastic, and
yeah,
that's marvelous.
You're stupid. You're just
well, ma'am. You can call me stupid, but tell me I'm not lying when I say to you, some guy can jump up easier from first class and cut your throat than from coach. Why
that's
can't
right.
those coach
just,
people?
He may even
yeah.
have bought a first class ticket. I don't think they screamed
no,
for that.
People in all the years I've been riding first class, no one ever came to first class who bought a full fare ticket without taking a shower. Now that's.
Oh,
I'm Ted Bell.
That is
no, really? Sir. Okay, I can prove it. I can prove it.
All right, well, when we come
sir,
back.
I'm sorry.
Hold on, Dorothy.
You
hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Chad's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hi, everybody. I'm Candy. I'm one of the hostesses at Chad's of Beverly Hills. Come on in with a big birthday party full of people and wonderful things happen at Chad's.
Here at
really
Chad's.
All right, you can stop.
Do you want to put our meat in your...
Is that Dorothy or Carol?
That's Dorothy is one of our hostesses, I should say, Phil, and she's phenomenal. It's been a big part of our success. I want to get back, if I could, Phil, to this discussion of the upgrade and
let me, if you don't mind, ask this question before we go back to some calls. You keep tying in with President Bush's appearance last night.
Look, Phil, I know you don't want it to be as bad as it was.
I think that you're overreacting. I think the president probably could have been stronger. I don't think he got his... You used the rape word.
I think he got his rear end handed to him last night. And now I'm thinking about this coming back from Miami, and here comes this guy from... All I'm saying to the airlines is this. Now, you can have Ted Bell sitting in first class, or you can have Joe Sixpack... Wife beater shirt, no shower, a baseball cap, turned around backwards, feet up on the seat in front of him, not a full fare of customer, possibly a terror threat. And when I mention the Stockholm Syndrome, what we're talking about is the synergy between the attacker or the terrorist and the individuals being attacked. And what happens is they take on the qualities of that person. What you're going to find, reasonable, law-abiding people in first class, suddenly rushing the cockpit for no reason. And this is...
You're trying to tell me...
Look, the thought of it makes me want to vomit up. Just vomit blood. That's how I feel about it, and I am trying desperately.
You're telling me that reasonable first-class people will rush the cockpit because of...
Out of fear, yes, out of anxiety. It's called mass hysteria. Ask any doctor about it. Look, I'm Ted Bell. I know the lady didn't... She said, I don't know who you are. You ask anybody within the Beverly Hills area, they're going to know who I am, okay? And I'm an Irish Catholic who's voting for Bush. In Beverly Hills, that's a rare thing. But I will tell you something. I feel very, very deeply concerned about it.
All right, let me go over here to Vicky. Hi, Vicky. Or no, hold on for just a second, Vicky. I want to... First, get to a lady who's been hanging on a little bit longer, and this is Violet. Hi, Violet. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, thank you. I'm very
yes,
glad
ma'am.
I got on.
You're on with Ted Bell.
Yes, I know. I think he's quite obnoxious, actually.
I'm Ted Bell.
Yes, I understand that. You've said your name at least 50 times since you've
started. What I'm trying to make the point is that as a successful businessman, Ted Bell.
Excuse me. I'm older than you, so let me talk. It's my
well,
life,
that
my
doesn't
dad.
Necessarily.
You listen to me now, Ted Bell, because I'm older than you and have a little bit of respect for me.
Well, first of all, I'm a native. Well, I'm a native-born American, and you sound as
oh,
if you
listen,
got the.
Excuse me.
You know, are you
special?
Italian? Well, are you Italian? I just want to know where you're from. Italy?
No,
oh,
I'm not
sounds,
from Italy.
Are you from Scotland, Violet, or?
Where I'm from, I'm an American, so don't be talking about which way I talk.
Well, you sound like something out of Oliver. So, what are you
well,
telling me?
I'm calling.
One of the things that
let's let that lady talk. Who cares what she's
obnoxious.
I was born and raised in America.
Words.
You got somebody here who's popping out of Mary Poppins, and she's trying to tell me what's going on.
Just let the lady talk.
Okay.
No, he can't because the only way he gets a point is because
you know,
he overtalks everybody else. Let
the British
speak.
Sound the way they do because they grow up talking with a biscuit in their mouth.
Yeah, well, that's never mind. At least it isn't bad words like you using.
Go ahead, Violet. This is Phil Hendry.
Your mother given you a few whacks when she heard you speak like that. And you listen to me.
You know who this is? This is Joan Plowright. God, I love you.
I'm not interested in how many restaurants you own. I don't care about them. I don't care about how you made your money. But if someone worked and made money to get a fare on a plane and did it a lot of times, enough to get upgraded on the plane, that's very lucky for him. You
okay,
just walk
so
on the
terrorist,
plane.
So a terrorist goes out, gets points,
oh,
upgrades
himself.
Don't
be telling me this
okay.
nonsense. If
what do you mean
really,
nonsense?
If
how
somebody
they
gets
keep...
sick in your
See, first of all,
don't be talking to me like that. That's crazy. Now listen
if someone
to me
is sick,
when
they
I'm
use
talking.
The aft. They use the aft care. Look at Violet. I have great respect
no,
for the years
you
that you live.
okay?
I certainly understand, but,
no.
You know, this isn't My Fair Lady, and you're not learning how the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plane. What I'm trying to do,
no,
desperately,
and don't
is to
be rude.
Ted, you're
very, very, very rude.
Ma'am,
and
when it comes to the security of my country,
you better get your sins forgiven to speaking to someone older than you with your nasty voice. Because I'm paying for my phone call, you just be quiet for a minute. Now, you listen to what I'm saying.
I'm tired of listening to you.
Everybody in America knows who you are. That you don't need to brag anymore. So just be quiet.
Let me ask you just one thing. I want you to sing the Lucky Charms song. Always have to be Lucky Charms. You know,
come on, Ted. If you are concerned about you made fun of that lady for laughing about national security a minute ago. Now you won't let this woman talk. She's saying that if someone upgrades themselves, they deserve to be there.
I'm saying the time has come to eliminate that little free ride that the airlines have been giving all of these people out there.
Did you not get a free ride? They paid for it.
I pay full service. I pay full fare, and yet pilot here gets to come up with her knitting. Into first class, you get to sit there with your knitting and your biscuits and tea or whatever.
No, I'm sorry, Ted. You can't sit with knitting because they don't allow knitting needles on the plane anymore.
Yeah, that's right, Ted.
You don't know your flight, please.
That's right, Ted. What do you think of that?
Yes, they don't allow knitting needles on the plane.
How is it a native-born American is being subjected to ridicule by you, Mr. Henry, by this individual who is a part of the country that at one time had us in chains?
Will you knock it off, man? The lady is saying some very...
Look, do me a favor, Violet. Could you say Bond, James Bond? No, you
I'm
can't.
I'm not
you
saying
know
anything that you wish, right. Because you've right. got a nasty mouth.
Are you serious, Ted?
I am very serious about protecting my country, yes.
Violet,
oh, you
you're
don't.
Americans.
You are not protecting your country. You are so upset because someone's getting a seat in the first class and you can't stand it.
I love James Bond in that movie, or what's his name? What's the guy?
Very good.
Sean Connery?
Then
Sean
just
Connery
remember
goes,
that. Which
just
restaurant
like a wolf to bring a knife to a gunfight.
So I can come in and see you. Would you like to tell me that?
Violet, I wanted you to know something. As much as I appreciate your love and concern for our great country, if they upgrade you,
if
or any member of the Irish race
all right,
into
Ted,
first class...
Ted, can you wait 1 second and let me tell you
hands.
That I was right. upgraded because... 40 years ago, my mother was very ill. I had a small baby. I had to go over to England.
Okay, this has been Haley Mills.
No,
listen to me now. Yeah.
You listen to me.
All right, look at Violet. Why don't you hold on, hon? Because I do have to move on to some calls. Just hold on for a second.
Even you recognize she's trying to filibuster her way through some sort of a rationalization of terrorism. Now you want to?
No, wait a minute, man. It's a lady. The lady has lived in this country. One of the things I really resent is an American with an accent being singled out for ridicule. And
well, it's what we do in this country to try and take our minds off the fact that many of these people with accents, Mr. Henry, have been responsible for some very serious acts of terror. I'm not saying Violet did, but I am saying the time has come to ask these people questions. If they have a thick accent, if they have a distinguishable accent, something that sounds. This lady is very thick, and you know I made jokes about Mary Poppins. I'm sorry, you're not going to first class.
Wait a minute, somebody with an accent?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
An Irish accent.
You heard of the IRA? Oh, my God. Yes.
All right, let me go over to Vicky. Where are we going to? Yeah, Vicky. Hi, Vicky. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell.
Yes, hello.
Go ahead, Vicky.
I was just wondering how much difference you think the price is between coach and first class.
How about the difference in price? I wouldn't be able to tell you because I haven't bought a coach ticket in so long. It would embarrass me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the thing is, it's not that different anymore. The airlines have discovered that they've been giving away these free first class tickets to their passengers that fly quite often. You don't qualify for a coach upgrade unless you have a great number of miles. Not a silver elite, but a gold, but a platinum elite.
Right. Well,
one of
the things is,
Vicky,
my credit card automatically rejects any coach ticket that is...
Well, I appreciate the fact that you like the luxury of first class, and I really believe the reason... And I don't blame you, because I enjoy it myself.
My credit card will not accept a coach ticket. It's almost like
mine. I understand, that's fine.
Right.
So apparently, but using your rationale, that proves that you couldn't possibly be a terrorist. So I appreciate that thought.
What I'm afraid of is the fear that when you people come up to, and I don't mean you people, but when one of you comes up from coach, there is a disquiet in the first class cabin. Word gets
around. Most of the people in first class are already there on point. That's the whole thing. They're giving away the ticket. Now they've changed the difference between coach and first class to be $150, maybe $200.
Those of us who buy full fare, we see each other a lot on the same flights. You know the ones that are not right. And I'm trying to say that...
Well, you're saying that somebody who's upgraded is not right, and well, you're saying they're a terror threat.
I don't know why we continue a silly upgrade program where
but
one of these people
upgrade
can come up
without,
and force me into wanting to slit a stewardess's throat. Why don't you listen
upgrade.
To me?
You can't upgrade without them knowing your Social Security number and all kinds of other information.
Well, the point
it's
is this.
It's not possible. You don't have a high enough status for the airline to upgrade.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I know.
Well, maybe you
want
to...
That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
I think you're making this up as you're going along. Are you
no, you don't understand
then?
The process. I understand
airline
why.
For?
You just buy a first-class ticket.
No, you buy a first-class ticket, okay? That's a full-price ticket. You get upgraded with points. That means that if you say there's not that much of a difference in price, then why don't they just buy the ticket, then get upgraded? Aha! I'll tell you why. Because they want to come up front, case the first-class area, see what's going on, who are the flight attendants, come back on another flight, nose around a little bit more, and then flight number three, there's a full-bore effort to jimmy the cockpit door.
You can't do that without having a complete,
set explosives, and escape to the latrine, and you saw
you've
got to
be a platinum flyer in order to upgrade, which means
you've
got 100,000 points or whatever.
All right, look at Shelby, you're making some very good points, and she's talking about flyers, clubs.
Well, I don't know anything about that.
Yes, 50,000 points within a 12-month period.
Hey, great. You know what? I bet you. Okay, great. So there's green stamps, too.
All right. Don't make fun of people because they happen not to have your income.
I am not. I am trying to say that as an individual who cannot afford the full fare ticket to sit in first class, I think the time has come to simply say to those people, pay full fare or just stay back there where you can be contained and looked at. Periodically through a curtain.
Oh, man, dude.
Let me ask you a question, Phil. Did you fly to Salt Lake City?
Yes, I did.
First class?
Yes, I did.
Oh, well.
And it doesn't matter to me whether a guy upgrades or not.
You know something? You haven't been flying long enough.
Let's go to some more phone calls. I haven't been flying long. I've been flying my whole life, man.
I'm talking about first class.
Don, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
All right. Anyone that's believing that a fabric curtain is going to make you more safe because somebody's got the money to upgrade, yeah, that's the same as money.
Look, President Bush said he was going to make us safer, and he's allowing these upgrades to go on.
Yeah,
all
first
over the
problem
place.
Is believing President Bush is going to make you safer. Look at his policy. Look what he's done. You've twisted Homeland Security.
Look what he's done. He's done more than Mr. Kerry, who has been talking out of 18 sides of his face.
Said that Mr.
You know, but the point that
I'm
making
here is
that
Ted,
when you were 9/11 is the Stockholm syndrome, where the terrorists wanted everybody to join them in blowing the plane up.
You're the same record as Bush is. If you're going to actually keep parroting the same thing rather than making a real point, the real point is 9/11 occurred because
John Kerry saying, I'm in favor of the war. No, I'm against the war. No, I'm in favor of the war. No, I'm against the war. I'm John Kerry, and I've been clear all along. I'm in favor and against it.
All right.
Look, Don, and by the way, I love the name Don. It's a beautiful name. And it reminds me of a song many years ago. Don, go away, I'm no good for you. You remember that song? It's a beautiful song. What I'm trying to say is simply this, Don. When the terrorists come up to first class, they'll slit your throat from ear to ear just as much as they will mine, even though you're voting for Kerry and I'm voting for Bush.
It doesn't matter which seat you're sitting in, my friend. You are just as much in danger having them come up from the 26th row as you are sitting next to you. They're still on the plane. The problem is security.
It's unlikely that a man who spent $4,000 for a one-way ticket is like, gee, I think what I'll do is blow the plane up while he's having a wonderful filet mignon. His choice, red, white, or white.
Come on.
Oh, are you,
it's
come
very
on, buddy.
Unlikely a guy's going to blow the plane out of this guy. He's going to spend that much money. Are you nuts or something?
You need to invest in your own airline because it's the only way you're going to be secure.
Well, with John Kerry as president, you're right. Ooh, I'm sorry. Did that sting?
Come on.
She gets Kerry in office. By God, I will buy my own airline. I'll get Kerry in office
because it's the right thing to do for security. It's the right thing to do.
Yeah, he's got so much of a record on that, too.
All right, look, thank you very much, Don, for your call. I appreciate your call. And it sounds to me like you were baiting a lot of these people. And
no, Phil, I don't do any baiting except the starts with an M. You know,
as long as you've been on my show, you've tried to get your own talk show. And with that kind of material, you know.
You know what, Phil? God bless our president. God bless everyone who just called this hour. God bless you. But until we begin to crack down on these fat women and these dumpy men who go, I've got, can I upgrade to first class? And the next thing you know, they've pulled off their Disneyland t-shirt, they've whipped off their I've been to Carlsbad Cavern shorts, and you're looking at a heathen with hot coals for eyes, sharpening a saber, ready to drive it through the body politic of Christianity. I'm not going to let it happen. Now, I'm Ted Bell.
I know.
You know what? You can go. You can go to the horned one.
Hello. Okay. Yeah, he hung up. I don't know what to tell you other than we did fly first class. And anyway, this is the Phil Henry Show. We're live in Salt Lake City, broadcasting live. We do thank Ted Bell for his effort at Homeland Security. Don't let people upgrade because they may rush the cabin from coach. 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Live in Salt Lake City, this is the Phil Hendry Show, and we want to thank the Boys and Girls Club of South Valley here in the Salt Lake City area. I also want to thank my brothers and sisters at Call Radio, AM 700. Every year they are a part of, you know, hosting our event here. And this is really a lot of fun. The people in Utah are nothing like, you know, the whole Mormon thing that everybody's sort of boring about. This is the people here party, and, you know, Maria was really wanted to come this year, seriously, but we couldn't make it. People do party around here, and, well, we're going to find out right after we get off the air. No, I don't know. I mean, I got to go to sleep. We want to thank them, and don't forget, on Monday night, of course, we will return with Vernon Dozier, and we also have coming up Monday night. Am I out of time? Can we take Hal and Viola for just a moment? Hal and Viola are joining us here. Hal, how are you doing, sir? Hal, are you there?
Yeah, Phil, I'm right here. Hal Level here. I just wanted to say we enjoyed the program.
I want to say hello, Phil, it's Viola.
Hi, honey.
Wonderful show. You
make me pee my pants, and listen, my granddaughter wants to be goth. She wants to carve things into her head and her arms, and her parents won't let her. What do you think?
I think she should be able to.
I don't think so.
Oh, bullcrap. Wait a second. Oh, no. We're stalling out again, Phil.
Bye.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, sir. Thank you, and welcome to our program.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Bozell, from the comments you made to the New York Times, your lawsuit against Microsoft has to do with you disciplining your son. And I want to hear about this because it brings into play something entirely new. We've often heard about kids being influenced to violence because of video games and so on, but I've never heard of parents claiming that.
Well, again, Mr. Henry, unless you know something about the intricacies of these different games, there really isn't going to be too much for people to call in about. I'm an adult who enjoys these games.
Which you say puts you in a small minority.
Absolutely. My son and I have played a game called Halo, which is a Xbox game, which is about a planet that has aliens on it, and these space marines attack it.
and try to get to a command center and rescue the other Marines that have been taken by these aliens. And we've played this game off and on for quite some time, and I've always beaten him because I do like to relax playing these games. I know some adults do, but not a lot.
Well, I've got a little affinity for Madden 2004, but that's I play that on my PC.
But you understand what it is to sort of relax with these games.
Certainly.
It's a game that involves... they're designed to increase the competitive level between the players that play them. In the case of myself, it's myself and my son. And in that case, one is an adult and the other is a child. It is natural, I think, for anyone to get upset after losing a competitive game. And in the interaction of adults and children, when an adult gets upset over something the child has done, the tendency is to administer corporal punishment. That's just a tendency that adults have when a child has made a mistake or has done something wrong.
And that's what you did?
This is what I did on Wednesday night, last Wednesday the 15th, yes, sir.
Did you spank your son?
My son is 12, and generally what we do is we have a wooden spoon that we've had, and we give the kids three good whacks with the spoon against the bottom of their feet or the back of their thighs, but only if they've done something wrong.
All right, now your suit against Microsoft proposes the game Halo and other such games created an environment where you would be prone to administer corporal punishment.
That is correct.
And the Microsoft, by the way, didn't invent the game, but
Microsoft software makes all these games possible. And rather than go after the individual games, you need to go, and this is something every parent needs to understand, you have to go after the software manufacturer that makes these games possible. And in that my son and I have been playing Halo for several months, and I had generally beaten him at the game. This last week we had a tournament.
Now, you mentioned this in the New York Times. You guys call it, this is a tournament you have with your son called Match to the Death 2004, is that it?
That's a game that when we go against each other, and we were going to have a big championship game, and we called it Death Match 2004. And that was going to be the final Halo game to see who was the champion. And again, I'm a father, and I'm playing against my son. And we played a variety of levels, and on level 4, he was able to accomplish a mission that I was not able to accomplish.
And he beat you.
Yes, sir, he did, in Deathmatch 2004, which was going to, you need to understand, was going to crown the all-time Halo champion of our house, and it was after losing that I realized that I was upset about it, and then I did, at that time, administer corporal punishment to my son.
All right, you're alleging what exactly in your lawsuit? By the way, we're speaking with Stephen Bozell. He is a construction contractor in Corona, California. He was playing a game of Halo. It's a video game. It's an Xbox game, correct?
Yes, sir.
Your son beat you after many months of you beating him, and you administered corporal punishment to your son, which you think you shouldn't have done, right?
No, sir.
All right. You are alleged, and our number is 1-800-449-8686. I got to get some of the business of the show out of the way, Mr. Bozell.
I understand.
1-800-449-8686. So you are alleging what in the lawsuit you filed against Microsoft?
We have drafted it a couple of different ways. That Microsoft, by developing the various softwares that make games such as Halo available, have created a hostile environment for children. That they have, by creating the various softwares for games such as Halo, have allowed unhealthy competitiveness to exist between fathers and sons, which will lead potentially to the son being the focus of corporal punishment. What makes our lawsuit unique, and the thing that I guess I'm most proud of, is that it's the first lawsuit to address the real, not only possibility, but I think probability, that if parents involve themselves in video games with their kids, that the violence can affect the parents too. And on September the 15th, and I mentioned in my suit, I did administer corporal punishment to my son by striking the soles of his feet 3 times with a wooden kitchen spoon as the direct result of being made emotionally distressed by the game of Halo.
And all right, now people are going to say, Mr. Bozell, people are going to say, why don't you just take responsibility for having hit your son?
Well, I knew you were going to ask that.
Well, it's a question people are going to ask.
Well, no, I'm ready for that question. That's my favorite question when people come out of the woodwork and they say, why are you seeing a company? Why don't you take responsibility? And the answer to that is so simple. I like explaining it to people because it's kind of like giving them the facts of life. Here's what it is. Why people ask that, if you get lung cancer from breathing secondhand smoke, why don't you take responsibility and not be around smokers? Why sue the tobacco company? if you get sick from eating poisoned food from a grocery store, why don't you take responsibility and not buy that food? If you've been driven insane by a drug you took, which causes you to kill a family or cut off a man's head or this kind of thing, why don't you take responsibility and say you were totally sane when you did it instead of saying you were insane and not taking responsibility from the drug that your friend gave you? See, that's what I like to explain to people, because people are always saying...
Well, hold on for a minute. If I take a drug that made me insane and drove me to kill an entire family or cut some guy's head off, you're saying I should take responsibility and
say you knew exactly what you're doing. Don't say, oh, the drug made me do it. You knew what you were doing. You killed everyone.
All right, your lawsuit is seeking damages of $20 million. Why so much?
Because my right to decide when I will administer corporal punishment and when not was taken away from me by Microsoft and the makers of the Halo game. I'm very competitive, and I don't like to lose. And when I lost, my instinct was to punish the child because he'd done something wrong.
What did your son do wrong?
He beat me at the game. See, the instinct of every parent is when the child does something wrong, is you want to punish him. What video games do is makes you want to punish them for beating you at the video game. Now, again, this is a very unique lawsuit. This is something that I think is groundbreaking. I think this will open the floodgates on it. That parents can be driven to beating on their kids by playing the same video games that their kids play on. In this case, I spanked my son for beating me at Halo.
In this tournament that you guys had, this...
Deathmatch 2004.
Deathmatch 2004. And the form of corporal punishment that you say you administer in your home is to hit the bottom of the kid's feet 3 times with a wooden spoon.
Well, that's just so that we don't get, you know, we do it, we administer it in a very responsible way, yes, sir. But I'm very proud to be on your program tonight, and I thank you for having me on to be able to talk about this lawsuit, because this is going to open the floodgates, and parents will now be able to achieve satisfaction and litigate through the courts when they beat their kids, or if they do something like that they could have been affected by the game that they, you know, were playing with their kid.
Why don't we just say the same things to parents that we say to kids? If these games make you violent, why don't you stay away from them?
Okay, once again, why don't you just stay away from secondhand smoke? Why don't you just not buy poison food? See, you can't beat me at that argument, because I have that figured out, you know.
All right, I understand. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. This man believes that the company of Microsoft, which makes the software that creates games, or allows games such as Halo to exist, should be sued because after he got beaten at a game of Halo on an Xbox, which I don't think has anything to do with Microsoft, he beat his son because he was angry at him. He is saying that the game caused him to unfairly beat his son, and the competitive level that it inspires, not just children, but adults, can cause the adult to administer a corporal punishment of some kind to a child that they don't deserve. Mr. Bozell says, and I'm quoting, this is a groundbreaking lawsuit. This is going to open the floodgates. Parents who have suffered because of these games will now be able to sue as much as the kids. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Now, I mentioned to him, why don't we just take responsibility? And, of course, his response is, that only goes so far. From what I'm gathering from him, he said, well, you can take responsibility, or you can say they don't have the right to blow that secondhand smoke. I don't know whether that applies or not. Our number, 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, will continue in a moment.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I would rather put my eyes out with a stick from a tree than look at you.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Mr. Bozell is with Jess. Stephen Bozell joins us. The lawsuit that you are planning on filing against Microsoft alleges that Microsoft creates the software that makes games like Halo possible. You were playing the game Halo with your son last week. You lost the match. You became angry enough to punish the boy. Don't you think, and you're suing Microsoft for creating that violent environment, correct?
Well, essentially, yes, sir, but, you know, one of the...
Well, before you say that, don't you think that what you're basically saying is that, you know, Halo or Microsoft is creating a violent game that inspires parents to violence?
I'm saying that, yes, sir, but I'm also saying something a little bit more profound. I'm saying that, yes, I do punish my children. What it did was it fooled me into thinking that they'd done something wrong and they hadn't done something wrong.
So you're saying that the game didn't make you violent. The game had manipulated you into believing your son had made a had done something punishable by beating you.
This is correct, yes, sir. And as a result, I beat on him pretty good. And I'll tell you, we have 3 acres out here in Corona, California, and we have a pond that we have used at times to fish in. We're very fortunate to have that. And I'm out here tonight, just, I don't know what I'm to do with my life. I'm just looking at the stars and trying to figure it all out. But the first step I can take, I think, is a proactive step in suing Microsoft for making me do that.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Here is... Is it Janice?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
You know, if you need to sue anybody, you need to sue your mother for having you because, I mean, you're a mom. It does not make sense why you would think that you...
Me.
Yeah, because obviously she can't control herself. But anyway...
What's that supposed to mean?
You need to take responsibility. You
ma'am,
beat your kid because...
Why don't you take
you beat
responsibility
your kid because you have no self-control.
For getting lung cancer.
Now,
why do people sue the tobacco company? See, I
believe
beat
in
that
disciplining
argument.
Children.
I beat that
but
argument already.
Don't hit no kid because you lost a video game. You're a child.
Check
and
it
you're
out.
Mine.
If you get cancer from secondhand smoke, why don't you just take responsibility for breathing the smoke? See, that argument... Shuts you
well,
down.
First of all,
shuts
there's
you down.
Several
no,
different,
no,
there's
no,
several
no,
different
no,
levels
no, no,
to getting second
no,
smoke.
No, no,
if you're
well,
a child, you have
speak,
no
okay?
choice.
La, 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 la.
If you have a child, you have no choice.
No, what about you?
Right?
What if you get cancer from secondhand smoke? You going to sue the guy that gave it to you? You going to sue the tobacco company? Or why don't you take responsibility for the fact that you just breathed that smoke? Yeah, see, that argument always shuts you people down who like to say
actually,
take responsibility.
Not. Let me answer your question.
That shuts you down.
Let me answer your question.
No, ma'am, you're shut
I
down.
I would not
let
sue
her to
anybody
answer.
For giving me cancer for secondhand smoke,
yes,
first
you
of
would.
All.
You,
no,
are
I'm
you
not.
Kidding me?
I'm not a sue whore person.
Are you kidding?
Unlike yourself.
Everybody's doing
it.
Oh, yeah.
But I would not sue anybody for giving me secondhand smoke. Now,
what if you were in a car that blew up?
What if
you were in a car that blew up?
If you get secondhand smoke, you don't always have a choice because...
Oh,
I
she's making all kinds of excuses.
Well, you keep butting in while the lady...
No, she's making excuses. She knows what I'm talking
excuse?
About. If you were in a car that blowed up on account of the gas tank was put in the wrong spot, you wouldn't sue the car manufacturer, or I could say to you, hey, take responsibility, you bought the car.
I'm about two completely
there
different
you go.
Things.
There you go. No, that shut
two
you down.
Completely different
you keep
smoke?
Saying it shuts you down.
Look, I thought long and hard about that argument, and,
talking about
and I knew I was coming on your show.
Things.
No, ma'am, it's the
you
same
you have no
thing.
Point. You have every bit to control your behavior with your children. It's your
responsibility. And you can control what kind of a car you buy. And you can
okay,
control
so
what kind of car you buy. Yeah,
who made
I got
you go to the store
you.
And buy Halo?
Who made you go to the store and buy that car that blew up? Yeah. Yeah. See, that's exactly what I'm saying.
I cannot believe this
no,
is
yeah.
real.
See, I'm beating you at your own game, and that's what's making
you
mad.
Not. You
I'm beating
like
you at your own
IQ
game.
IQ of a penis.
Yeah, well, you can't. No. The IQ of a penis?
Peanut.
That's not what you said, Mr. Henry.
No, she said peanut.
That is not what I understood her to say.
Well, the point is, Mr. Let me jump in here.
You don't have any. You don't. You,
hold on.
You have no
so, Mr. Bozell, your
that
point.
God gave
your,
a mule.
Hold on. Your point is.
All she can do is call me names because I shut her down.
Hold on. Your point is that, in other words, we all need to take responsibility or not. Is that it?
You're right. If she's telling me to take responsibility, then she's got to take responsibility.
I take responsibility for everything that I have.
Really?
No one took me. Nobody took my butt to the store to go buy Halo
oh, really?
So that I could
so
say, blame them and say that it made me beat my kid.
Well,
nothing's
going to
make me beat my kid, except for me.
Would you take responsibility for letting your kid walk to school if he got hit by a car?
Yes, I would take responsibility
okay, so
for
you
that.
Ain't going to sue the guy that hit him. Ah, man, I got you again. That's the second time I shut you down. That's the second time I've shut you down.
If there's mitigating circumstances to that. If he was negligent, yes, I would sue him.
Oh,
but
see? Oh, why don't you take responsibility for letting your kid walk to school?
Nonetheless,
guess what? You're
how do you like
the
me
only
now?
Idiot in the planet
like
who's suing Microsoft for whooping your kid because you don't know how to lose.
Because Microsoft made me violent on account it made me competitive against the kid.
No, it made you violent because you need anger management. That has nothing to do with Microsoft.
Your kid gets run over and you'll sue some poor guy who had a couple of drinks. But me,
okay,
I don't get
he's
to
sue responsible
them
for having those drinks, you moron.
Hey, well, your kid's responsible for walking down the street. And by the way, do you take responsibility for your ugly face? Probably not. You probably want to sue
well,
God.
I'm quite beautiful.
Oh, man.
So, you know, I'm not really worried about
this
that.
This is childish, and I don't want to continue with this.
She's the one who I made a good point, and she won't acknowledge that I made the good point.
No,
well, that's
actually,
fine. I mean, look, let me jump in. You
okay.
make a point, Mr. Bozell, when you say that you're correct. At some point, people, you know, have to take responsibility or not. If you are on the side of blaming Microsoft for the violence against your child, then you would agree that a woman has the right, she has the right to sue and all these things.
That's right, but she won't admit it. She says she won't sue. And that's the thing that I've been talking to people across this country for the last 30 days, and they all say the same thing. You shouldn't do this, you shouldn't. Then I say, okay, what if you were born with a face that looked like it was set on fire and put out with a track shoe? You wouldn't sue the doctor that gave birth to you? Oh, and then you go, oh, well, that's a different story.
Well, no, you wouldn't, because that's
all
not
right.
the doctor's fault.
Thank
you. Yeah, not if he put the forceps on your face and pulled you out nose first, I'll go to hell.
Don't say go to hell to any of my listeners. 1-800-449-86. Jessica, go ahead.
Hi. I don't agree with any of your statements that you just said. I think if you're going
to
beat your son, then that's your responsibility. That's your choice in choosing to beat your son.
Have you ever played Halo?
No.
Okay. Halo is highly competitive. The Marines land, and you got to take over the planet and then go and get the command post. It's really competitive.
But that's not going to convince you to beat your son.
No, but
that would be your choice.
Well, why do we punish kids? Because they made a mistake. I made the mistake of thinking my son had done something he should be punished for, and all he did was beat me at Halo. So Microsoft, by making that game...
But
do you,
it's
do
not
you hear
Microsoft's
what you're...
fault. It would be your fault because you're the one that beat your son
after
you lost.
Okay, here comes the argument. Are you ready? What if you get cancer from somebody else's secondhand smoke? Are you going to sue him? Yeah. See, that's the argument I've been working on.
No, because you chose to beat your son. The game did not tell you to beat your son. You just
well, you chose to breathe the secondhand smoke. See, that's the argument I've been...
Yeah, I know you've been working on that argument. I understand. This young lady is simply saying you made the choice. You're saying you were forced into beating your son by Microsoft making the software that made it possible for Halo to be made.
I'm saying, Mr. Henry, that as an adult, I should get the same consideration and the same compassion that a kid gets when he plays it. If the kid goes out and shoots a bunch of puppies or sets fire to an old folks' home, everyone says, well, the game made him do it.
Well, the game didn't make him do it, though. It would be the kid's choice. The kid made him do it.
Right. Okay, Jessica, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Stephen Bozell wants to sue because he spanked his kid on account of a game. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
That ain't cucumber dressing.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
On the line with me is Stephen Bozell, who is suing Microsoft for the fact that after a game of Halo, Mr. Bozell administered corporal punishment to his son, and his son was the kid that he was playing against. His son had beaten him. Now, my understanding is you're in some kind of a video arcade right now, sir?
That is correct, sir.
Why are you there?
This is one of the things that I talk about, Mr. Internet. Spoke to the New York Times. I was over at the pond, and I was trying to get my head clear, and now I'm back in a video arcade. And I want to play Halo, and I know that if I do, I'm going to hurt a kid.
If you play Halo, you what?
I'm afraid I'm going to hurt a kid.
If you play Halo and the kid beats you?
If the kid beats me, yes, sir. And yet I'm here, and I'm... standing in line behind a Halo machine right now. There's actually not Grand Theft Auto that the kids are on right now.
Why don't you just turn around and walk out of there?
I do want to do that, and I will do that, because intellectually I know that if I play, a kid's going to go down.
A kid's going to go down is what you said. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Carol, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I guess I just don't understand why you think that Halo caused that problem, because you said yourself you already know that you're a very competitive person.
Yes, ma'am.
Why would you go out and buy a game that, you're, since you're competitive, if you lose and play with your son, that you turn around and kick his butt since he whooped your butt? I just don't understand that.
Because,
and your analogy of the smokers doesn't work either.
Oh, it totally
because
works. It totally
if
works.
You are actually, let's say you are a diabetic, and you're a diabetic and you walk into a donut shop and have a donut. So it's a donut shop responsibility just because you choose to stuff your face?
Hold on for a minute. How come people sue the tobacco companies?
You keep using that. Don't you have
well,
anything
no, wait
else?
A minute. Wait. How come people sue the tobacco companies? It's their choice to smoke.
Well,
they,
I don't know
I got you.
Why you
I got
want
you.
To make Microsoft
I got
responsible.
No, but
you know
I got
what?
You.
My husband's a gamer.
I got you on
no,
that.
My husband's a gamer,
no,
and he plays all the time, and he has more maturity than to turn around and beat somebody because he gets his butt whooped.
First of all...
That's all it is maturity. If you want to kick your son's ass just because you're immature and you let him
no,
beat you...
No, that's ridiculous.
Up.
Okay, so it's immature to sue the tobacco company just because you got a tumor on your lung.
Oh, get off the tobacco company.
No, I won't get off it because I made a good point and you won't acknowledge it, and that makes me even more angry.
What do you mean that makes you even more
angry? What are you going to do, trying to kick my butt across the country? Come on, give me a break.
Why won't you let me be right?
Why? You're not right, that's why. Not
okay.
Everybody's like you. If you know you're
all
competitive,
right.
Why would you go to an area where you're going to kick some kid's ass
okay,
in an arcade?
Okay, let me ask this.
Hello?
If your liver dies, would you sue Anheuser-Busch?
No.
Oh, bullcrap, you know you would.
So
no, wait a second.
Drink, I'm going to sue them.
If you get
on,
cirrhosis, you get cirrhosis of the liver. You may have a point with the tobacco thing, but if somebody uses alcohol to the point of abuse, where they get cirrhosis, and you know you're in the video arcade right now. You know what it does to you.
Look, I was playing with my son, and he started calling me all kind. You know, saying he was going to bitch slap me. Said he beat me down and all this.
Well, that's your son talking to his father in a way that probably isn't the most respect. Is that what got you angry?
It's just the fact that he beat me, and before that, he said he was bitch-slapping me.
So well, he's learning from his dad. You're teaching him a lot.
Well, ma'am,
you're a great
at least I can admit
dad.
When I'm wrong, and you can't admit that when somebody smokes a cigarette and they sue the tobacco company, you think that's okay, but I want to sue Microsoft, and you want to just basically do what my son said he was going to do. You want to bitch-slap me back.
I didn't say I was going to do that. I'm more mature than that. I know that I wouldn't do that to somebody. If I know, let's say you're an alcoholic, perfect example, and you walk into it, why would you go into a bar if you're an alcoholic?
Yeah, but why would you sue a tobacco?
We get the tobacco company analogy. We understand, okay?
Look, she won't admit that I'm right.
You're not right. I don't think it's right for people to sue a tobacco company when you make your own choice and you turn around and you smoke.
Okay.
If you're around smokers, you're going to get that problem.
Okay, then, ma'am, I hope you can live with this. As the result of you not admitting to that, you've made me want to play this game, and I may hurt a kid.
Oh, get
yeah,
out of here.
You should be in jail, buddy.
Get out of here, man. Now, that doesn't fly.
It doesn't fly? She won't admit.
Oh, forget it. If the lady doesn't agree with you, she doesn't agree with you. Carol, thank you for your call. Now, that doesn't fly at all.
That doesn't fly at all. She created an environment where I want to play Halo, and then I might drop a kid.
What do you mean, drop a kid? That's the thing that's bothering me.
I don't mean I'm not going to kill him or anything.
Well, what do you mean? You're going to smack him?
Hey, Junior, you want to go around?
Sir?
I'm sorry?
Are you listening to me? You're on a radio show.
Yes, sir.
Does that mean you want to smack him?
That I just want to... Yeah, I just want to, you know, punch him or something.
Let me go over here to Tim. Tim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, Mr. Hendry.
Yes, sir.
I got a question for you. Have you ever been evaluated for anger management?
Did you hear that question, Mr. Bozell?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear it. What?
Have you ever been evaluated for anger management, or anger control?
Evaluated for what, sir? Anger control?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's stupid, because that's like saying, have you ever been evaluated because you want to sue the tobacco company?
You're going on with that tobacco thing.
But I get to say it.
Okay,
how come I don't get to say it, but he gets
question.
To say it?
If you was playing basketball with your son one-on-one, and he beat you, would you turn around through the basketball?
No, because I've never spanked my son for beating me at basketball. But Halo and the Xbox games and them games
made no difference.
Made me want to spank him.
He beat you.
Well, how come I didn't spank him when he beat me at basketball? But I want to spank. I'll tell you why. Because he said he was going to bitch slap me and give me the beatdown. And when you play Halo, and that just drives you crazy.
Why? Why would if a guy says he's going to bitch slap you at basketball, it doesn't make you nuts?
because Halo is designed as a competitive game to make you want to smack some kid.
So
basketball is not a competitive game?
No, basketball doesn't make me want to smack a kid.
It's a competitive
game,
though.
That's the whole point I'm trying to say to you. You should stay away from these games, because you play these games, you're going to want to just smack some kid upside the head and throw him through a window.
I played those games with my son. I raised a boy and a girl on my own.
Does he beat you?
I played the games with him. I never had no problem with that.
Okay, but does he beat you?
And he beat me.
Well, I don't think you're being honest then.
Wait a minute. You can't have it both ways. This man just said his son beats him, and he doesn't beat his kid. And now you're saying that you can't beat your son without beating him.
Well, I'm saying that Microsoft...
That's right.
I don't beat my kid, and Microsoft made me want to beat my kid.
What will do is they will teach you patience.
All right.
What's it called, anger management?
It's called anger management. It's what a lot of people go through who have a problem controlling their temper. Thank you, Tim. 1-800-449-8686.
You want to go around?
Who are you talking to?
You do? Where's your money?
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to one of the kids here.
You got to get as far away from that video arcade as you can, man. Eugene, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I just wanted to make the comment that my point of the whole matter is that machine didn't cause him to do the corporal punishment on his kid.
Oh, yeah.
It's the fact that video game can sit on the shelf and never do one thing to make him beat his kid. The fact that he went to the store and bought that game and played it was where he should take the responsibility for.
I'm sorry, did you say something?
The man's talking to you. What are you doing?
I'm sorry. Hold on, kid. Don't take that corner. I was playing a game of Mortal Kombat, and I'll tell you why. That lady that was on the phone, and then the other man who was on just after her, wouldn't allow me to be right about one thing. As a result, now I'm playing Grand Theft Auto. What about that? Yeah, that's
cool. Is the caller there? Is anybody there?
Yeah, I'm here. But
okay.
If you're not, you know, you don't have the common decency to listen to anybody. All you want to do is have your own point and not listen to nobody else thinking you're always right.
Okay.
The possibility is there that you are dead wrong.
Okay, that may be too. But let me ask you something. If I play a game of House of the Dead, Halo, or Myth, and I lose to some kid who's like 11, and I pick the kid up and I throw him out into traffic, you're saying I'm wrong.
You're definitely wrong, and it's not the video game's fault. That video game sitting at the store is not hurting nobody.
Just sitting there.
You made your mistake
right
when you went and bought the game. You ain't got enough intelligence to know the difference between game and reality.
Okay, maybe that's true, but I just want to be clear.
It's definitely true.
All right, I just want to be clear. If I'm playing Donkey Kong with, like, a kid, and the kid bitch slaps me at Donkey Kong, okay, and I take the kid, and I stick him in the trunk of my car, and I drive my car into a lake, you're saying I'm wrong.
You're wrong for putting the kid in the car. Now, you ought to take and get in the car and do the driving off into the lake. That'd be cool for everybody involved.
Well, you know, sir, look. Because I get angry if I'm playing Frogger or what have you, or Donkey Kong or Frogger or any of the Marco, you know, any of them games, and a car hits me, and then I want to beat a kid, you're telling me I'm wrong, and I don't see where you're coming from.
What are you talking about, man? I've been sitting here listening to you. If I play Frogger and a car hits me and I want to beat a kid, if I stick a kid in the trunk of a car after I got beat at Donkey Kong.
I'm just saying. It's like this. Here's another way of looking at it. If you were Superman, okay, is your name Eugene?
Yes.
Yes, sir, okay. If you were Superman and you knew kryptonite was in your front yard and your son threw a hunk of it at your head, what are you going to do? Sue kryptonite? You savvy?
What's the deal with all these ifs? We're talking about what you've done. We're talking about reality.
Yes, that's
exactly. Get away from your video fantasy world. As your favorite word I heard a while ago, if my aunt had a penis, she'd be my uncle. The ifing don't work with me.
No, but it's the same thing.
No, it's not.
Let's say a ghost eats me in Pac-Man. Then I take a kid and I just kick him clear into the street in front of a van.
What? You know, this man's right.
It's still your fault because you're playing the video game.
Exactly.
Nobody's
Same
forcing
thing.
You to play the video game.
What do you,
you
mean?
You ain't got enough intelligence to put the controller down and push the off button.
Well, I don't get it.
You don't get it. If you're... What do you
it's
mean?
It's called take responsibility
for
your
actions,
own
sir.
Action.
Well, two of you guys ought to go on Broadway.
What's happening here
anyway.
Is... The audience has got more sense than you do in shutting you down.
So if the Superman son... No, you didn't shut me down.
No, the audience...
shut down, but you ain't got a good argument tonight.
You're smacked down.
You what about the kryptonite argument?
You so far shut down, you in the basement of that video game.
If you knew kryptonite was in your front yard and you threw a hunk at Superman's head, you're going to sue kryptonite.
What are you talking about?
You know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, you won't admit to it. Okay, I'm going to drop a kid.
Is he gone? Eugene, thank you for your call, sir. 1-800-449-8686. If you knew Superman was in your front yard and you threw a hunk of kryptonite at his head, would you sue kryptonite? Savvy? What do you want, Mr. Bozell?
I just
want
to say one more thing.
What?
All right, let's say Dracula came up and tried to bite you on the neck, okay?
Oh, come on.
No, please let me just say this.
Go ahead.
If Dracula came up and tried to bite you on the neck and your kid was wearing a garlic necklace so he wouldn't get bit, wouldn't you sue the... wouldn't you sue the garlic farmer? You savvy?
Get out of here, man. Savvy? That's the coolest word on record, but we got to bring savvy back. Ike Clanton and Tombstone. Law, don't go around here, law dog. Savvy? Mr. Stephen Bozell with yet another lawsuit that's going to make the record books, I'm sure. 1-800-449-8686. Tomorrow night, Margaret Gray's Campaign 2004 report. And Wednesday night, Jay Santos and Sew Me Up So Tight, I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face with Dr. Joe Briscoe and Sheila Skelly. And don't forget, our Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2004 CD is on the way.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Taking talk radio to the next level. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now it's time for the foremost conservative talk show host in America. The new voice of reason in America. Barry the Freak McMillan. A real...
Yeah, thanks a lot. Okay, that's great. Yeah. Is this Limp Bizkit from End of Days? Oh, no, this is Korn. This is so radical. Yeah, I'm Barry the Freak McMillan. Yeah, you know that I've got a very in-your-face conservative talk show host because I use Korn as bumper music. Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit here on the Barry the Freak McMillan show about what happened today. And you heard about it. President Bush had been impugned. The man had been dumped on, the man had been crapped on, the man had been used as a thin piece of one-ply. And he'd been run across the rear end of CBS. Well, guess what happened today? You got it. Dan Rather admits that he's a liar, that he's a cheat, that he's a no-count blackguard, that the man obtained documents that are completely false about the president's service in the National Guard. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm so sick and tired of it. I read this today, and I said to my wife, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go down. I'm going to punch Dan Rather right in a kisser. See, I'm Barry the Freak McMillan. Yeah, I'm radical. And that's the stuff I say. Because this country has got one of the greatest presidents in the history of the world in George Bush. And for Dan Rather, a loser at 72, a guy who's on his way out, that guy, he's going to have to get himself in a wheelchair and roll himself home. Because that guy's done. He won't even be able to get a job getting Bob Edwards coffee or blowing Terry Gross's nose on NPR. Huh? That's right. Okay, let's get some phone calls. It's Barry the Freak McMillan. How you doing?
Yeah, hi, Barry. I get it about how Rather made a mistake, but he apologized, so why don't you just move on?
Apologized? When did he apologize?
It was in the news today. He said he was sorry and that he shouldn't have gotten the documents. So can we move on and talk about something else, man?
Oh, wait a second.
No, just please, just move on.
No, but I want to make a point.
No, I don't want to hear your point. Just shut up and move on. Just anything. Talk football, something.
Look, buddy, you know, there's a lot of things. Did he hang up? Hello? You know, that's the kind of caller. See, he hung up because he was afraid of me. He was afraid of me making a good point. You know? See, a lot of people say, well, why don't you just move on? Dan Rather made a mistake. I think Dan Rather has an agenda, and I think this guy is a turd in a punch bowl, if you know what I'm saying. Let's go to another call. Hi, Mary. You're on with Barry the Freak McMillan.
I know what you're trying to do, and that's a bit controversial, but your kind of high-pitched voice and the sort of weak-kneed manner that you have is very difficult to take seriously.
High-pitched voice and weak-kneed manner? Didn't you hear that I played corn?
Didn't you hear that I played corn?
Baba Booey.
The other thing I wanted to talk about, and John Kerry, what a liar he is. He says now it's a new direction for America. George Bush had the new direction. Hi, you're on the air with Barry the Freak McMillan.
You blow.
Hello? Okay. Hi, you're on the air with Barry the Freak McMillan.
You blow.
Barry the Freak McMillan on the Phil Hendry Show.
Don't forget the Steve Bozell t-shirt. Tomorrow night, Margaret Gray's Campaign 2004 report. And on Wednesday night, Jay Santos. Thursday night, Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley. And on Friday, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Goodbye.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Steve Bozell joins us at 9 o'clock. A lawsuit being filed on behalf of John Kerry's supporters. He'll be telling us about that. Margaret Gray joins us now on our Campaign 2004 report with a look tonight at First Ladies, Margaret.
And, Phil, when you look at the First Ladies, you're looking at the women, the two men who want to be president of the United States. Or when you look at the First Ladies, I should say, you are looking at women that men who became president chose as their mates. When you look at the two women involved in this campaign, Theresa Heinz Kerry and Laura Bush, you're looking at the women that two men, one who is president, the other that aspires to be president, two men chose. I'm a very big John Kerry supporter because I am a very big Theresa Heinz Kerry supporter. She's a woman who's made herself financially secure. And I think what is most important, she's not embarrassed and she doesn't make apologies for being the financial support of her husband. She's a strong woman. I talked with Theresa this past weekend. I am moved by her practicality. John receives an allowance from the family monies that are monitored by her. She has a great discipline when it comes to this. Then we look at Laura Bush. And you see, I think, a decidedly different story. You come away with the same impression that most of the American people, I think, Phil, are really beginning to come away with. She comes off as smug. She indulges two daughters that really need a much firmer hand, I think, the way they run around in public and so on.
You think Laura Bush is a smug person? Some people think she's probably more down to earth.
Well, I think it's a trait. I think smugness it keeps coming up when I talk with people about her. She stands there in front of the press as if she is so wonderful. And it's her husband who's the president, not her.
When you talk to people about the First Ladies, what is their impression of each woman?
So the people I talk to have said all the same thing. Theresa Heinz is down to earth, I think. You mentioned Laura Bush being down to earth. I think they see Theresa as down to earth. She's in control of her family. She is totally aware of what her husband is doing at all times. I don't know if you heard of the news about a month or so ago. She upbraided John Kerry in public for not being more deferential to her.
I heard something about that, yeah.
She had, apparently she had a headache, and he was taking her by the arm And she said to him, basically, don't take me by the arm like I am your concubine or I'm your whore. I mean, this is...
Well, you don't think that he meant that, do you?
No, but what I'm saying is, Phil, he's pawing her in public. He's pawing at her in public.
Well, what I heard was this. He was taking her by the arm to help her into the helicopter, and she said she had a headache, and she was a little short-tempered with him.
No. She was acting as if she was an invalid, and she said to him, stop it. And she did something, really, that more women should do. She screamed it because she was asserting herself. And again, you contrast this with Laura Bush, who tries to set, you know, she tries to act as if she's so special. That's the thing I notice about Laura Bush. She thinks she's so great because she's married to the president. But she's willing to, as a woman, when her husband oversteps himself, is she willing to scream at him at the top of her lungs, don't treat me like a child? Women are tired of this. Teresa Heinz Kerry is the kind of woman that will do this. And that's why I'm a big admirer of John Kerry. I think he selected a wonderful woman as the first lady.
I want to ask you something, Margaret. In your own marriage, just, you know, I've been married 7 years, but I want to ask you, in your own marriage, do you assert yourself with your husband in the way that you're saying, screaming or asserting?
Well, when I need to, Phil, yes. It's about showing other women what it is to be a self-actualized woman, especially in the 21st century. Frank and I were at a wedding of the daughter of Frank's partner. And Frank was taking me by the arm in the limousine, and we came in with another couple, and I looked at him, and I made sure people could hear me. And I screamed as loud as I could, take your hand off of me. Because, Phil, if men want to keep pawing at us as women and grabbing at us, then we have to be assertive. Again, it brings us back to Laura Bush. Have you seen her? I'm sure she gets up in the morning and looks in the mirror and says to herself, I am so wonderful. You know, she has the bearing about her that isn't assertive. It's furtive. Furtive. It is a cold, almost... And forgive me, but it's almost what the kids would call a bitch queen demeanor.
Well, that's... Man, that is harsh. I mean, we're talking about the First Lady.
Well, I don't know what else you call it, but she acts as if she wouldn't say crap if she had a mouthful of it. She acts as if she wouldn't say crap if she had a mouthful of it, and that's what I'm talking about.
All right, Margaret Gray joins us. Her campaign 2004 report, our number is 1-800-449-8686, and in her... interviews with people, and she also spent some time with Teresa Heinz this past weekend. She is finding that people really think Teresa Heinz is more down to earth and more in control of her family, that Laura Bush comes off as smug. You feel Laura Bush thinks she's so special, and Teresa Heinz, therefore, is a woman who is practical and down to earth, correct?
No, I do think so. I'm finding out billions of American women are, and I came up with a very fun idea, Phil. Teresa Heinz is the heiress to one of America's most successful companies, the Heinz Company. And I came up with an idea how the American women can voice their support for Teresa. And it's a lot of fun, and it's very different. But I think outside of the box, and I think this is something that is going to allow women to finally make a statement about the Bush administration's shackling of us and throwing this smug woman, Laura Bush, who, you can just tell, she thinks she's so wonderful. I'm married to the president and you're not, this kind of thing. Now, women of the world really have been shedding blood for their countries for a long time, if you think about it, Phil, in the form of what we experience once a month, and I'm trying to be as delicate as I can. Now, this is a really different idea, but to show our support for Teresa Heinz, we are asking American women on November the 2nd, is that the day before the election? I don't know.
Chris, check. What's the day before the election?
Whichever day that is.
All right, the day before Election Day.
On the day before the election, we are asking American women to take an average tampon or a pad, soak it in Heinz ketchup as a statement of support for John and Teresa Heinz. Now, I know...
Boy, you say that's different.
I know it sounds different, and I know a lot of people are going to misinterpret that. But American women and women all over the world, if you think about it, Phil, have probably shed more blood for their countries than anybody. You take it and soak it in Heinz ketchup. You can use regular construction tape or some kind of packing tape.
Go ahead.
and you can tape it to the antenna of your car.
Right. Ms. Gray, I want to ask you, that's a statement that's definitely going to get misinterpreted.
Well, that's why I'm on your program talking about it.
But let's get back to your attitude about Laura Bush being smug and Teresa Heintz being... And by the way, I don't know that Teresa Heintz is still an heiress to the Heintz fortune, is she?
Oh, absolutely she is. And, you know, they play that down, and I think it's so... I think it's like Teresa to be very self-effacing. She doesn't like to shout to the rooftops, oh, I'm Teresa Heintz, and I'm the heiress to millions. She doesn't do that, but yes, they are very, very comfortable because of the wonderful work the Heinz Ketchup Company has done for the years. And so we think the statement, as shocking as it is, we need a shocking statement. Because I think John Kerry can still lose this election. But if we all get together and make a statement as women...
But soaking that kind of feminine item with ketchup and taping it to a car antenna is going to be seen as crude and repugnant and unnecessary.
I think it will be, but I also think it is going to get people's attention. And we really have got to do that. Because, as I said, I think John Kerry can still lose this election.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray on the line. We're talking about the difference between the two first ladies. Ms. Gray feels that Teresa Heintz Kerry is really the first lady of choice for most American women because she's a woman who is financially secure, is a woman who has, I guess, made a living herself.
Absolutely.
Didn't she inherit that money?
Well, you know, there's an old saying, Phil, about how there's a great woman behind every great man. Teresa Heintz was responsible, really, for a lot of the development in the Heinz Company. All of the condiments, a lot of these have her mark on them.
And that American women identify with her more than Laura Bush, who you say comes off thinking she thinks she's so great and so wonderful because she's married to the president.
She really does. Laura Bush, I spoke with Laura Bush last year. She's likable enough, but you can tell she has this attitude every time she looks at you. You know I'm married to the president and you're not. And who needs to keep being reminded of that? There are millions of American women who are married to, for want of a better word, Phil, losers. And we don't need Laura Bush standing there in front of us with her smug, aren't I so great attitude. I'm married to the president and you're not. It's childish. We don't need it at this time in our country.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Your take on the current first lady and the... proposed new first lady, the current first lady Laura Bush, the proposed new first lady Teresa Heintz Kerry. Ms. Gray has given you her take on it, and she's done quite a bit of reporting on this campaign since the very beginning. She is our correspondent in the field. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
You flip a phone at a Korean War veteran, and you pull back a bloody stump.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Campaign 2004 report with Margaret Gray here on the Phil Henry Show. Ms. Gray joins us from Sacramento, California. Margaret, we're going to get to a few phone calls here if you don't mind, but I want to at first just reiterate that you, in the interviews you've done, find that Laura Bush is not as favorably viewed as Teresa Heintz. They think more Laura Bush is smug. Now, there is the interpretation that Laura Bush is simply a humble woman.
Phil, in the people that I've spoken to, one gets the impression initially that Laura Bush is a humble woman. But when you begin to look past that Texas smile of hers, which I've known a few people from Texas, and... I've known them socially, and I've known a few intimately, and I will tell you, people in Texas have a way of disarming you before they pick your pocket, if you will. What I found from the women that I spoke to, Laura Bush thinks she's so great. You know, she stands there, and it's irritating. It's unnerving. Have you ever had a friend, and I don't know if you can relate to this, Phil, like I've had girlfriends who, well, you know, John and I just bought a boat, you know, what do you think of that? You don't have a boat, I do. And you really, the instinct is to claw their eyes from their skull. That's not my instinct with Laura Bush, but if she keeps staring at me the way she does, and all the American women, we're going to begin to get a little irritated with just how great she thinks she is, and she thinks the rest of us are so less than that.
All right, and you are supporting John Kerry. You like Theresa Heinz Kerry.
Absolutely. I think she's a charming woman, and I think he's going to make a great president. And again, she keeps him on a short leash, so I think that's something else women should understand.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Eric, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was telling a friend of mine that I think that if we do something as radical as put red tampons on our antennas driving down the road will cause John Kerry to actually lose the election.
Well, I don't know what your thinking is behind that. What I'm trying to do is make women be more vocal in their support of John Kerry.
Well, that's nice, but the problem is that Bill Clinton won in 92, and he won at the next term because he's a moderate. And I think that this is a radical movement would actually cause people to turn away from the Democratic Party and grow.
What aspect are you talking about radical? I don't understand.
Right, it's a left-wing radical. That's a radical act, wouldn't you think?
What are you referring to?
Go ahead, say it, Derek.
The red tampons. That's pretty radical.
Soaking your tampons in Heinz ketchup.
That's a radical movement,
But it doesn't say radical as in left or liberal. It's radical as in we must get John Kerry into the White House, even if it means, yes.
I do not believe in a million years that it would come across in that positive stigma.
All right, now that's interesting. Okay, that's interesting. Why do you think that?
Well, first of all, like I think it's repulsive, and it would actually have a negative effect on what you're trying to achieve. I think that you're going to have to appeal to, first of all, I do agree with you about Laura Bush. She actually doesn't seem as smug as she does like a goody-goody.
Yeah, she really thinks she's so hot,
And Hillary Clinton, I think, is actually the ideal type of first lady, and I think she's actually the ideal type of person, a woman, a career-minded woman
would
America.
But I actually interviewed Hillary Clinton, and there's a little bit of what people say about her. You know that there was a rumor, Phil, about her orientation, sexual, and I could tell the way she looked at me.
All right, I don't even want to get into it. But I want to get back to this whole, you want women to soak feminine napkins in Heinz ketchup and tape them to their antennas and drive down the road as a statement of support. This gentleman's saying it will turn people off of Kerry.
No, I think it's going to get people to pay attention to the Kerry message. Millions of American women with tampons flying from their car antennas soaked in Heinz ketchup is a radical statement, yes. I agree.
I think you're going to turn off all the male Democratic voters by doing that.
I disagree.
All right, listen, Eric, thank you very much for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Kathy, go ahead.
Yes, I'd just like to say that not all women, and I capitalize A-L-L women, are not for Theresa Heinz Kerry. And I think Laura Bush is a fantastic lady, a moral lady, and a gracious lady, and they have my vote 110%.
Well, I think that Laura Bush comes off that way. I agree with you, Kathy. I think that she is very good at getting women like such as yourself or whoever to believe that. But I'm a little bit, I'm a little bit different. I've been a journalist for 30 years. Just look at her. You've had girlfriends like this. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, look at me. Look at me.
I've got a mother that is gracious like her. I can see her the way she is, as a wonderful Christian lady and a wonderful supporter of her husband who keeps her mouth shut when the time is right to keep her mouth shut. And you can't say she doesn't have a backbone because she doesn't show it in public because she has grace.
No, I didn't say she doesn't have a backbone. I think that's if anything, I'm saying the opposite. I think, don't you have girlfriends? You know, they got a brand new Cadillac. Oh, don't you think I'm better than you? That's what she's saying. She's better than you and me.
I have to disagree with
that. She's married to the president, and she thinks she's all that and a bag of chips. And I'm saying, women such as yourself, Kathy, women such as myself, on November the 2nd, the feminine napkin statement, I think, is one that we can make and make forcefully.
Well, you know what? I'm old-fashioned. I like my husband to open the door for me. I'm teaching my sons to open the door for women. I like my we walk on the inside of the curb. We don't walk on the outside. I think that's old-fashioned. I think it's respectful, and I think it's gracious and nice.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, Kathy. I mean, I still walk onto the other side of my wife on the street side. You know.
Well, all of that is really nice, but I'm talking about the feminine napkin statement. I want to know where Kathy stands on that.
On the what statement? I'm sorry.
On the feminine napkin idea that we had for the Kerry campaign.
I don't agree with the Kerry campaign at all. I think Lisa Hines Kerry opens her mouth too much, and I think she, if all honesty,
you're kidding
I don't
me.
Even like to speak like this, I think she'd be a disgrace as a first lady.
I agree. I think the woman is...
You know something? You don't know her the way I know her.
No, I agree. I think that outburst in public against her husband was embarrassing. He showed himself to be almost on a leash. Boy, you talk about a guy being on a leash. I bet you she reads him the Riot Act. And I don't think there's anything charming about the woman. And for you to fly, this is what she wanted to do, Kathy, soak tampons in Heinz ketchup and fly them from car antennas.
Yeah. You're not catching anything on my antenna, except for a campaign.
All right, then you go ahead and vote for Laura Bush, and every day for the next 4 years, you'll look at her, she comes on TV and says, basically, hi, Kathy, I'm Laura Bush. I'm married to the president, and you're married to a loser.
She doesn't say that.
I'm
married to a loser?
Yeah, I don't...
Is that what you're saying?
No,
I would love to meet with you right here, right now, and you can see how gracious and wonderful my husband is.
But you know that compared to Laura Bush, you are married to a loser. She's married to the president, for God's sake.
All right, look, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Laura Bush or Teresa Heinz. Margaret says Laura Bush comes off as smug. It's Phil Henry Show.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
A little bit of a conversation off here with Margaret Gray. It's our campaign 2004 report. The idea of soaking a feminine napkin in Heinz ketchup and then duct taping it to the car antenna is a statement to say the women of America are bleeding.
Well, there's this attitude that only the soldiers in Iraq are the ones who are shedding blood, and I certainly honor their service. But I'm voting for Teresa Heinz. I'm voting for John Kerry because I'm a great admirer of Teresa Heinz. And in our way, women, all women, have given of themselves. It's not real blood. It's Heinz ketchup, which makes it all the more meaningful.
How are people going to know if you're driving down the street with this red napkin on the... I mean, the whole thing is in my opinion...
Well, you know something, Phil? I love you, and I appreciate you, and you and I have known each other for a long time. I'd really like to talk to women about this. I don't think it's a subject that men really are qualified to attack.
About the first ladies?
About the first ladies and our feminine napkin statement.
1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray believes Laura Bush comes off as smug and thinks she's so much better than everybody else, and Teresa Heinz is down to earth and she's a big supporter. Here is Pat on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Pat.
I would like to say that I think you're going to be putting out the wrong statement, that it's going to be showing that if you vote for Kerry, you're going to shed more blood.
No, not at all. What it means is John Kerry appreciates women.
I know what you think it means. I'm saying what I think it means. If I would
say... Yours isn't logical, though. Yours isn't logical. Because
and
my,
I'm...
In other words, ma'am, my cycle is going to happen 3 times a month instead of one. I don't understand what you're saying.
I am voting...
Oh, God. Can we get off this topic, if you don't mind? Can't we stick to
Phil, I really want to talk
I'm
to
voting...
Women.
Excuse me. I'm voting for...
I want to
for...
talk to women, not to men. Go ahead, Pat.
I am voting for a man for president.
Now,
I'm not voting for his first lady.
Who are you voting for first lady, though?
I'm a Democrat. And I'm voting,
so you're voting
for Bush.
For Teresa Heinz Kerry.
Yeah, me too.
I'm voting for Bush.
Me too, Pat.
I would ask the host to please not interrupt while I'm talking to this woman.
I just said I'm a Democrat, and I'm voting for Bush.
Well, I think that's a tragedy. I think that is lower than low. How can you stoop that low?
I think if Kerry gets elected, that we're just going to be inviting the terrorists more into our country. Bush is keeping them out, and I don't care that much for Bush.
How can the two of you, being Democrats, stoop so low as to swim in the sewer of switching parties and voting for Bush, especially when we've got...
Excuse me, ma'am. Bush is protecting our country. I don't think Kerry will.
Kerry can't protect the country. Kerry doesn't even have anything he's saying these days. He has no statement. You know, the only statement he's going to have is you and your girlfriends flying ketchup-soaked tampons from your car antennas.
You know what really I think is appalling is the way that you talk down to me. Theresa Heinz Kerry, if John Kerry is elected, won't let men talk to her that way anymore.
Won't let men talk to her that way?
Yes. See, Theresa Heinz is a woman who will scream out loud, "Take your paws off of me. Take your hands off my breasts. Take your hands off my rear end. I'm a woman, G.D. it."
I'm voting for the man. I'm not voting for the First Lady.
Will you join us in our feminine napkin protest?
If I do, I'll display a banner on my car saying that I'm flying this napkin because Kerry's going to shed more blood.
All right, but you would soak a napkin in Heinz ketchup and fly it from your antenna.
I would do it, and I would put a banner on saying if he's elected, we will shed more blood, and women and men and children in our country
all
will
right,
be attacked
you
again.
You have to put up a sign to explain it, then.
All right, look at Margaret. Obviously, the woman is against your idea. Thank you very much, Pat. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Lisa. Go ahead, Lisa. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, Phil.
Hi, Lisa.
Pardon me. I think that idea of the feminine napkin thing is absolutely disgusting. And as far as I'm concerned, Laura Bush is a lady, and she is a true lady.
Well, I don't doubt that she's a lady, but she looks at you and I, Lisa, as if to say, my husband's president.
You know what? My husband's a Marine, and he wouldn't take a Purple Heart unless his arm was cut off.
That's not as good as the president.
Yes, it is.
How do you figure being
a... Yes, it is.
Wait a minute. The president's the commander-in-chief. Your husband is whatever he's doing. What is he doing?
He's in Iraq.
Man's fighting for his country in Iraq.
Well, fighting for one's country in Iraq, I think, is relative. I think we can
Of course it's relative to you.
Yeah, it's relative to you because, you know, look at the Democratic...
And this blood that's being spilled and the feminine napkin thing, I would not waste the cotton on Theresa Heinz Kerry. She is a very crass woman.
How do you figure she's crass? You don't think Laura Bush stares at you as if to say, hey, Lisa, your husband's a grunt. My husband's president. Why don't you suck on that?
And you know what?
Oh, she doesn't
say
that. And you know what?
My husband proudly salutes his commander-in-chief, as do I.
You know, Margaret, if I could, everything that Laura Bush has ever said is great. Is very humble. It's very...
Oh, sure, to you and me. But what do you think she says behind closed doors?
And what do you think Theresa Heinz Kerry says behind closed doors?
Theresa Heinz Kerry is probably screaming at her husband, bitching him out for, like, you know, not picking his underwear up.
So in other words, you say John Kerry is being held on a leash.
Yeah.
That's what you just said.
You just said she's being held on a very tight leash.
You said she kept him on a very tight leash.
No, I kept him on a tight leash financially. She gives him an allowance, but you don't think he's his own man?
No, I don't. I think with that woman, and the other thing is the way she behaved in public, and...
Well, forget about all of this. We are soaking
that... Forget about all of that, but that's what we're talking about. We are talking about the first ladies. We have one who is a first lady, who is very much a lady, and she's very humble, and she's a very caring woman. And then on the other hand, we have this screeching shrew that I certainly would not want.
How dare you?
How dare I? I've heard her do it.
Would you rather have a leader that makes apple pies or rides a Harley?
Who cares?
Ah.
Who cares?
Gives a crap if the guy rides
Harley.
My dad
rode a Harley.
Well, what are you intimating? He molested you?
All right, now the lady didn't say that, and let's not get personal, okay?
Well, what is she talking about? Look at Lisa. Take any old napkin, soak it in Heinz ketchup.
Forget it.
I won't even buy Heinz ketchup anymore because I think she is just a disgusting representative of the Heinz family. And Senator Heinz was a very respected man in my hometown. And I grew up with the Heinzes.
You know what puts you off is the German accent. If you just got past that.
I am Irish.
If you could turn the sound down on the TV when she talks, I think you'd find her to be very charming. Did you switch to Del Monte ketchup? Is that what you're saying? Because I think that's low. I think that's low. Huh? I think it's low.
Low what? Switching to Del Monte?
Absolutely. Well, she can laugh if she wants to. You know what? Go ahead. But you'll feel very foolish when I drive by with a feminine napkin taped to my antenna. So
I think you're the one that's going to feel foolish.
Shit,
because
yeah.
The only thing I'm going to tape to my antenna is a flag, an American flag.
You know what? Never mind. Why don't you just go straight to the puree matter?
What did she say? She hang up? I'm told my engineer tells me she hung up. Lisa, thank you very much for your call.
I'm sorry for making your guest hang up.
Well, you can. It's the end of the segment anyway. I don't care. And the woman, you know, I'll be interested to see.
That is just so crass and so...
Well, I mean, the idea, you know, is that Carrie, and she's acknowledging, Carrie needs a big boost. The guy is losing... You know, if this guy's got any credibility with the American people, it's shocking to me. It's stunningly shocking. The only credibility he has is that he is anti-Bush. That's what the Democratic Party is representing. It's an anti-Bush.
Smear campaign.
Hold on
it is a complete anti-Bush campaign.
Yeah, but we'll see whether. Hold on for a minute, Ms. Gray. If you hang up on me, you can't call back.
I want to know whether she's going to soak a tampon.
She said she's not going to. Okay. What did she say? Great. Lisa, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And many thanks to your husband, serving the USMC in Iraq. I talked to a Marine over the weekend who came back from Fallujah. He said the people in Fallujah were wonderful to him and to the other soldiers.
And that is what my husband told me his first tour over there.
Right, yeah. So this, you know, we just have to keep saying it. And so, you know, this idiotic message that's being sent is shown up for what it is, just a load of hooey. 1-800-44. Thank you very much, Lisa. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. That is Margaret Gray's campaign 2004 report, and we are going to certainly be looking forward to hearing more drivel. I mean, more reporting from her next week. Coming up, we're going to have Steve Bozell on. I told her not to. What do you want?
Beefcake.
Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Ms. Gray, I got another phone call for you.
Well, at this particular point, I don't know why I'm even letting myself in for the abuse, because since I've been on your program, Mr. Hendry, it has been 50 minutes of sexist, misogynistic abuse, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it.
Ms. Gray, we can go on.
I'll take her call.
All right, here is Margie. Go ahead, Margie.
Yes, Miss Gray, it's very sad that you have the one-sided opinion, because you are making us sick also, and you don't realize that. You remind me very much of the lady that was going out of a building, and this man opened the door for her, and she was very, very angry, and she said to him, "Don't open the door for me because I'm a lady," and he said to her, "Ma'am, I am not opening the door for you because you're a lady. I am opening the door for you because I am a gentleman." And it's very sad that you think that we all agree with you.
Don't think that I
understand. We all don't agree with you, Miss Gray.
What woman would allow a man to, what kind of animal opens the door for what? In other words, what I'm trying to say to all
women. Let me tell you, only a smart woman would do that, because a smart woman knows where she stands, knows who she is. And I think it's wonderful. If I am married, and if I am putting a nail on the wall, and my husband came to me and said, "Hon, let me put that nail on the wall," do you think I'm going to say to him, "Well, I can do it myself"? No. I know I can do it myself, but he is nice enough to come and help me. Well, I am going to let him do it because I am a lady.
Margie,
and I
now wait a minute.
Gentleman.
I want to make a point
here. And let me tell you something.
One woman, my husband the other day opened the door for me, and I said to him, "You filthy bastard, trying to demean me in that way." I put him in his place.
No,
well, you called your husband.
That's a frame of mind, and that's the way you think.
So why don't
you tell me that your husband is a gentleman, and you don't even see it?
May I ask you a question? Do you use feminine products? Yes or no?
Do I use what?
Feminine products, yes or no?
You don't have
I use the ones that I need to
Margie,
use as a
Margie,
woman. Margie's, I don't need to use all feminine products.
You don't have to answer that question, Margie. It's highly personal.
I think that this
and,
lady is a very sick woman.
Are you talking? I'm talking about soaking the tampons in ketchup. What's the
No, you know what?
Oh,
Teresa Heinz ketchup. No, I don't like her because she's very arrogant.
Arrogant?
I mean, she was so smart.
Look, she is a tough
no,
broad in
lady,
a world full of men.
Let me tell you something.
There
are many
the door
of us, and I'm a Spanish lady, and let me tell you something. We are not stupid. We got her picture, and we're not voting for Terry because of his wife, okay?
John Kerry is going to lead this country out of the miasma of Iraq and save us from ourselves.
Are you kidding? You got blinds
well,
on.
You are freaking high if you think that's going to happen.
Oh, so
you
now you're accusing me of drug use.
On you, lady.
You know what, ma'am? Yeah, I'm not accusing you of drug use, Margaret, but for to say that you want to scotch tape a tampon to the antenna of your car soaked in Heinz ketchup.
He is making me throw up. This is stuff. You're not speaking for us women. Let me tell you.
Oh, wait a second. You know, Margie, you know what you look like to me with your good bag and your bad shoes? You look like a rube. A well-scrubbed hustling rube. Good nutrition.
Get out of here with your speech.
Oh, would you stop it? Let me tell you something. If you're such a Democrat, go and listen to Maria. There's no other Democrat bigger than Maria Shriver. And you know what Maria Shriver was taught by her father? That when she walks into a room,
she is very special.
Okay?
I got to change the tank on Frank's chair.
You are a sick lady.
Maria Shriver, Chuckle the Clown.
Soupy Sales.
No. Soupy Sales and it's easy to understand. Can I have a shot? When Ted Kennedy and Scott Peterson. La Rouvre Rivier Canada.
Daisy Duke.
John Schneider. Darinan Moroi. Easy never had a tongue like Andre Rodriguez. Dan Rather, B. Arthur! B. Arthur, Morica, and Ethan of all the Nicole and Ethan of all! Mandarin, Ethan, Sully, Mulder, and Nell Carter! Rudy Valley, Glenn Miller, Woody Herman. The Osmonds, Meneglatara. La Luna, the Rivigarin, Rahuri Viganta, Hora 5/2. Manolo. Gary Coleman.
Hello, I'm Gary Coleman. I'm just here because the cat said come on in and rap, and so I don't know what's going on. So I'm
going
to split now.
La Londra Rivier
Edgar Bergen. Joyce DeWitt. Barry Williams. Joyce DeWitt. Barry Williams. Joyce DeWitt. Gary Coleman. Phil Hendry Show.
Jackass.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Going straight to the hot place.